Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a great start. It's going to be a hot one out there today, folks. It's going to be a hot one. It's going to be 81 degrees out there. That's Andy Thunder Johnson with your weather forecast for the day.
Rob Thompson.
81 and sunny is your weather forecast. Yeah, listener said, I have to change my name. I can't be Andy Dirt Johnson. You got to be Andy Thunder Johnson. I'd be okay with that.
Is it Rob Thompson or Thomas? It's a hot one. Do you remember that song?
Oh, I remember that song.
Matchbox 20 guy.
Thomas? That's Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas. Thomas.
Who's Rob Thompson? Is that a car dealer locally that used to exist? Thompson,
no, he was the fired. Wasn't he the fired Phillies manager?
Yeah, Robbie Thompson. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He just got canned in Philly.
Mattingly can't lose now.
Dude, my folks are in Philadelphia right now. They're on their way back. I think they're coming back tomorrow. They went to a Phillies game on Sunday, and my mom caught a foul ball.
She caught it? Dad catch it?
No, the person sitting next to her dropped it, and it fell into her lap. And so she technically caught it, but it was off of a deflection.
Did she keep it?
I was very disappointed, so she sent a picture. She kept it, which was controversial because there were kids in the section. And I said, I now need to go back because I didn't know about this till after the game. And I went back on the MLB at Bat app because I'm like, I wonder if they showed her catching the foul ball. They did not. The Philly broadcast didn't show it. But sometimes when that happens, the broadcasters will get after you a little bit if you don't hand the ball to a kid. And I'm like, all right, I'm now on a research hunt here to see if John Crook is going to make fun of you. Now, he wasn't on the call for whatever reason on Sunday. I don't know why he wasn't calling the game. They were playing the Guardians, but they didn't show it. And I thought that was a bold move. She's bringing it back for my nephew, which I get. But the kids in the section, she said, were coming after her, like Lord of the Flies.
What do you do if your mom is Philly's Karen?
She starts yelling at kids.
Like, it's caught on camera. It becomes a controversy. Like, what do you do if your parent is that person?
I don't know how I'd react to that.
And do you claim, like, yeah, that was my mom?
Yeah, that's damn right. That's my mom.
Or do you go?
Do you proudly claim it? Are you ashamed to claim it?
I don't know.
I think I would proudly claim it. What the hell? It's my mom. She birthed me. Do whatever the hell you want.
My mom was on the news one time, and it was because at our trailer park, a cougar got loose and ate our cat. So she called. She thought I could parlay this
into
being on TV.
News bit. I'm going to be on the news.
So she called both the animal services and the news. And the news came to our mobile home, and I was so ashamed. I went, I am
not
going to be
on
seen
this.
Here.
No.
And she didn't have the same last name as me. So unless you were my friend, people didn't connect the dots, but she was a local trailer park lady.
Talking about her cat getting eaten by a cougar.
And she did not dress up, so she's wearing like loose-fitting basketball sweats.
Did she have curlers in her hair?
No.
Why wouldn't she capitalize on her moment of fame? You don't want to look good for the TV cameras when they come around?
She probably had a cigarette in one hand.
Yeah.
And she's talking about a cougar in our trailer park, and I am outside looking through the blinds like, end this already.
What was the cat's name? Do you remember the cat's
Titus.
Name? Titus. Poor RIP.
Yeah.
Gunned down in his prime.
He was an indoor-outdoor cat who
learned the hard way. You're going to learn today.
Found out.
You're going to want to be inside
you,
from now
well,
on, Titus.
Inside my belly.
Life's, life's tougher outside.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's it like getting eaten by a cougar?
Excuse me?
Cat pervert.
I mean, I didn't know from experience. It's got to be scary, right?
When they got a mouthful.
When they come after you like that, you're running away. You're scared.
Hooray.
Well, we have a lot to get to this hour. Welcome back in, everybody. Somebody had a great text asking, does Swag have an app for the tide reports for his ocean swims?
Wait, what?
Do you have a tide report app for your ocean swims when you go 500 yards out?
Oh, are we ebbing?
Or do you have an app that tells you
Neap tide?
What kind of tide are we dealing with here as I go 500 yards out into the ocean?
I mean, if you're swimming 500 yards, shouldn't you be looking that up? That's a valid point.
I would imagine.
Or do you just jump in, don't care?
I also just allow me a brief moment because I love moments like this. People like making fun of my football program, and I understand why. We're a pretty insufferable fan base, so we've never won a national championship. I get it. But also, like, we got a delayed text in about the idea of Oregon being a draw, and somebody texted in, Oregon's not a draw. It's a national brand. It's not the national brand you think it is. They're top five in the offseason, and they fail during the season every year. Stop acting like Oregon is a top five team because they don't perform as one. And I just simply responded, in the last 3 years, their final ranking was 6th, 4th, and 3rd, and their regular season record is 34-2 in that time. So, you know.
Win a title. A
lot of failing going on during the season. Postseason, sure, by all means, we fail there. No doubt about it. Regular season? Yeah. Not a lot of failures there. But thanks for texting in nonetheless. We do have a lot to get to in this hour of radio. How would you feel if you were Fox and your number two analyst got the Sports Emmy over the number one analyst again? Because it happened again. Greg Olson won the football analyst Emmy for the second consecutive year after getting bumped to the number two chair over their number one chair. It's the funniest thing in the world
that
this happened.
Who's more upset by this, Fox or Brady?
Brady.
I think Brady, because I think Brady tried to be better this year,
and
I
think
he was.
He was better this year. There's no doubt about it.
But even though you were better, you still weren't better than number two.
Nah. Number two has won it back-to-back years.
I think it has to be Fox.
How long until he can get him one gig again? What's the next one gig that opens?
Whenever his deal opens.
I don't know.
But who's the guy that you fire for Olson? CBS? Are they going to make that move from Romo? They feel weirdly defensive of him.
Well, he's on a massive.
Right.
I think he signed an
extension. Collinsworth's not going anywhere. Buck and Aikman just signed a huge deal with
ESPN. If you want the take, I think it's Sunday.
You think it's Collinsworth?
Yeah. Mm. And I'm not saying they're going to or they're on the verge of it. I'm spitballing and speculating.
Yeah.
Romo, unless he walks away, and that's a different thing, I do think it would be Sunday night. Because I think you're right. They're weirdly defensive of Tony Romo.
I don't get it. It's strange.
Well, it's the contract. You have to
There's
be defensive when you
there,
make a mistake.
And I wonder how much Nance sticks up for him.
Yeah, are they good buddies, you think?
Yeah, I think
they're
golfing.
You think they're good buddies? Golfing buddies.
They golf a lot.
Because
I would imagine, like, if they want to keep, you know, if Nance says, I'll keep doing it as long as Romo's my guy.
Tirico just won Emmy
yeah.
for lead play-by-play.
Yeah, he won it last night. They told him. That was kind of a cool moment of them telling
Reggie
him
Reggie telling
broadcast.
Him that he won it. Yeah, cool.
I think the only thing would be is if one of the streamers.
But I don't want Olsen to go to Amazon Prime because Amazon Prime doesn't have any games that ultimately matter.
Well,
when does Brady, you think, tire of it to go do more stuff? He's doing a lot of stuff.
When does he
want to
be a full-on, you know, president running the thing?
Yeah, maybe that's around.
Maybe
he
that's
wants
what
to
Olsen's
go.
Just waiting out. He's like, actually, who does he work with? Is it Joe Davis?
I think it's him and Joe Davis. Yeah,
he probably
so.
Likes working with Joe Davis, who seems pretty chill. He's a good voice, and you still get to call a good game. You're highly respected.
I mean, if that allows his agent to go, you know, negotiate, you know, get more money out of the deal.
I mean, I'm sure he's being well compensated.
Yeah. And he still gets a good, maybe he doesn't get the greatest games, but he gets good games, and he doesn't have to take the heat that Brady does.
I'll give you a good one. Here's a good one. Amazon.
Well, that's my thing. Like,
prime game.
He would be significantly better than Herb Street.
He would be way better than Herb
Street. But does Amazon get any playoff games?
I think they're gonna get.
Is that
one.
A part of their new deal?
I know
they don't get a Super Bowl, but I didn't know if they get like a. They do like the Black Friday one-off game.
Yeah.
So they have like. There's moments when there's a big feeling regular season game. I think you want to be a network guy because you want the ability to call playoff games in a Super.
They're
like,
getting
those are the
one wild card game.
Okay.
Through 2032.
And they might have had one last year. Did they have one last year? They could.
I believe they. Well, I don't remember. They.
Why
did
do I feel like Rams and Panthers was a wild
Packers
card game?
Bears?
Packers Bears? Was that the Amazon game? It could have been. But yeah, I mean, I he's certainly better than Kirk Herbstreit. It's not the worst move. I want him to have a chance. I think he's the best in the NFL. And the Emmys agree with that take. I had a chuckle with that yesterday if they bumped him to the two chair.
That's funny.
And in the last 2 years, he's won the Emmy for the number one color commentator in the NFL.
I mean, Brady got the one because of the name.
He's Tom Brady, and they paid him $500 million, which to the point of him walking away, he has a $500 million contract.
Yeah, but like if he gets halfway through it, I could see him saying, what's the $200 million if I'm going to make X and Y off of this venture?
He's already made enough money in his career, I would argue. I maybe went bankrupt from cryptocurrency. What do we make of the Green Bay Packers not having any running backs anymore? Because Josh Jacobs got arrested yesterday.
That's not entirely true.
Oh, who do they got left?
No, I'm just saying, like, We have to wait to see more
information. We definitely have to
wait
and see.
His attorney is saying there's evidence that has not been known yet. It's going to come out. There's going to be more information on this. And I'm not saying don't believe somebody. I'm just simply saying we saw this with Stephon Diggs and a chef, didn't we?
We did. We absolutely
did. He strangled me. He threatened me. He didn't pay me. Oh, here's the video of me celebrating, turning him in. Oh, here's my testimony that is contradicting everything I said.
Yeah.
Oh, I've lost. So I'm not, look, this is a horrendous thing if he's ended up doing this. Awful. And now you're going to have a bigger question because he's going to suffer a massive suspension, assuming he doesn't even have to go to prison for this.
Right. Some of these, some of the charges are very serious. He was booked on charges of battery, domestic abuse, criminal damage to property, domestic abuse, disorderly conduct, strangulation and suffocation, and the intimidation of a victim.
No doubt about it. But if it comes out and there's more to this story, that's all I'm saying is like the wait and see approach, because I don't know where it's going to go. But if all that stuff holds up,
sure,
yeah, dude, I don't know what they're going to do, because I'd imagine they're going to lose him for a sizable chunk of time.
Also, a little bit different as of now. I don't know where this goes from here. I'm not a legal scholar, just a weather guy. But he is being held without bond. So it's not, I don't believe he's been released yet. I don't think he's been allowed back out. The charges, to your point on felonies, strangulation and suffocation charge are both felony charges. The other four are misdemeanors. So this happened, I believe, over the weekend. The cops were called for domestic dispute. They came, charges were filed, he was arrested. And so he remains held without bond, and we'll see where it goes from here. Totally fair point. You got to let the legal system play out. So a lot of times these allegations end up being nothing. And
it's a pretty horrendous allegation, though.
Without a doubt. I will also add, sometimes when the allegations are true, they end up getting off. Like, look what's happening in Atlanta with Pierce. Like,
that's all I'm saying.
That went
from
a case of, like, this guy's never going to play again to he's, like, available week one for him because he got a sweetheart deal and the gal decided to drop the charges on him.
Well,
or some of them,
if I
read correctly.
But even if he's found guilty on most of that stuff, I don't believe he's had another crime.
To my knowledge, he is not. No.
So it's going to be the first-time offender thing mixed with he's a Green Bay Packer in the state of Wisconsin. So what's the penalty really going to be?
Yeah.
Huge fine, probation.
Right.
Is he really going to go to jail for the felonies?
Right.
So it's more to me like, is he out 8 weeks or is he not out at all because something pops up here?
It's a big one to file away just because he's been really good in Green Bay. He's been really good his entire career. And I think with running backs, you're always wondering how much shelf life do you have left. But also, to my point, to open the show on the Cowboys, like I jokingly have a bet on the Cowboys to win the NFC this year, which I grant you is dumb, and I know it won't happen. But part of it is just the idea that the NFC is kind of open in my mind, and I felt like it was open last year. Now Seattle and LA proved themselves as the two best teams, and maybe that ends up happening again this year. But one of the teams we put into the mix is Green Bay. Right, with the Parsons trade a year ago, Love is a franchise quarterback, good offensive head coach,
have him in that conversation.
And that's fine. I mean, they've been a team who's been in the postseason every year. Now, they have, some years they've won a game, and the last 2 years they've not been able to. They should have beat the Bears last year, but they blew it. Mm-hmm. Should have, could have, would have. But they're in that category of playoff contending teams, and so you lose a guy like that, potentially for a chunk of the year. It's a devastating offensive
Chris
blow
Brooks
for them.
Chris Brooks and Marshawn Lloyd.
Those are their other backs?
Yeah.
Marshawn Lloyd, was he the USC back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The transfer, he's Cal transfer, right, to USC?
I believe so. That sounds right. How would you feel if you were Patrick Mahomes, who got surgery immediately, has spent the entire offseason rehabbing with team officials, basically traveling with him wherever he's going, made it all the way back to be on the field for the opening day of OTAs, and your number one wide receiver cannot because he's running his car into people and smoking weed?
It's pretty devastating.
I'm going through all of this to be available, and my number one wide receiver is nowhere to be found because he's a dumbass.
They've kept him. They drafted him. Like, what do you want me to say here? They continue to choose questionable characters at different points of this run.
That's one of those Mahomes moments where I'd be like, dude, I am Patrick Mahomes. We need to have a say in this.
Well,
like, how is everybody not pulling on the rope in the same direction if I'm putting myself... I was shocked to see that he was... I mean, I don't know what it means. He had a big knee brace on, but him being out there for the opening day of OTAs is a great sign of progress about where he's at in his rehab process.
It's hard for us to really wrap our minds around it because we don't have as many pro sports, but the news that Travis Kelce is now a part owner of the Guardians.
Yeah, he was at the Cavs game the other night.
He was.
Chugging a beer.
Did you watch him get the ovation?
I did not.
So he stood up. They said, hey, Akron's very own. And he's with Taylor Swift and he's courtside and he's doing the rah-rah frat boy, pump you up and then chug a beer as fast as I can thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pro white guy move, by the way.
Gotta
just
do it.
Gotta do the rah-rah, chug beer. Let's go, Cleveland. I understand you're from Akron. it's a little odd standing ovation in a town that has an NFL team in the same conference of a team you're playing on.
That is a weird vibe.
It's not that it's wrong.
While still playing. One thing, yeah. Post-playing days, it's different. Hey, you're back home.
If he was retired, he's going to be the new part owner of the Guardians with the group.
That's a good point.
It was a little odd to me. I was like, if I'm a Browns fan, which I am if I'm in Cleveland.
Of course you are.
I'm miserable because my team sucks.
Maybe it's because their team is so bad that they just don't care.
But you're in the AFC, and they've dominated the AFC.
Yeah.
There's something weird about that.
Like, we're at that point now, I feel like, with Kevin Love, where he's more of a local celebrity again, right? Like, it wasn't great when he left to go to UCLA. Well, it wasn't great for my school and my fan base. And now he's, like, come full circle, and he's a respected guy around the league, and he's an established vet. And, like, him coming back, I feel he's for sure going to be a guy who pops up at Blazer games and gets a standing ovation down
the road. Well, yeah, but he hasn't really played in the last 2 years.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's,
he's close
to the
end of his
league, you know?
He's close to the final days, and he's not a threat to you anymore. Not that he ever really was.
But he never was, because Minnesota sucked.
No, and then he went to Cleveland.
It was the reverse problem.
And then it was Miami. Yeah, he's a different conference. I'm trying to think of another comp.
It's hard for us to have the same comp. I just was wondering
if... Because we don't have another pro... Or core four pro team.
I was just thinking, like, if we hosted a show, I would bring it up Monday and be like, is it odd to anybody else that we're giving an ovation to an AFC player not in a Cleveland Brown uniform?
Yeah, it's a little strange.
I know he's from Akron. Again, I'm acknowledging that, but why are you getting me pumped up? You're a Chief.
I also love the idea that...
Put Myles Garrett on the Jumbotron. That'll get me pumped up.
There was a moment where the people were lip-reading them on the sideline. I did see this, where he was bragging about winning a parlay. Which is the most ultimate boyfriend husband material of all time?
Did he fade the Cavs and not say anything?
I don't know what it was. I think it must have been like a player prop one or something. But you could kind of read his lips saying like, "Hey, I won my bet," and she's like, "How much did you win?" And he says something which you can't really make out, and she's like, "Yeah, you know, the ultimate. Hey, babe, get that parlay, that $5 bet that turned into $12."
A lot of apologies.
You're
they
welcome.
End up having like a legit. Like 40-year marriage, isn't there?
Be pretty crazy, would it not?
I would have never believed that it was real. I would have thought it was PR, and then...
Yes, now here they are, love.
Maybe they're really actually in love, and this real.
We have a highest-paid safety in the NFL again for the second time in his career. Guy has reset the market, and then, reset the market again. Derwin James yesterday got a 3-year, $75.6 million contract extension with the Los Angeles Chargers to make him the highest-paid safety. He had been passed, I believe, by Kyle Hamilton, surpassed him on a deal.
I believe you are correct on
that. And the last time he had signed, he was the highest paid safety. Hamilton jumps him, and then this was the last year of his deal, and the Chargers have said all off season, like, we're gonna take care of this. He's really good. And they did. So credit to them for getting the deal done. $75.6 million to our Madison Beer conversation, a piece that you need to have and you need to have available because he's very important to them defensively. Also, a big question for them this year is what do they look like without their defense coordinator, who was so good and respected, and their defense really carried him at chunks of the season with the Herbert injury and all that stuff.
I'd argue most of the season carried
him. Lack of weapons. The offense wasn't lighting anybody on fire, but their defense was really good, and now you got a new DC, but at least it helps to lock up Derwin James for 3 more years.
I mean, we know the impact he has when he plays. He stays healthy. I think the Chargers are going to be okay here. This is going to be similar in the wide receiver market, too. It's JSN now.
Oh, constantly resetting.
Jefferson's
going
to be next, then Chase again, and then maybe Jefferson or JSN again. Like, it's just going to go back and forth between a handful of guys. So not surprising to see a guy take it back over.
Last one in our NFL Nuggy segment. I love a good, slogan for a team. Everybody's got to have their different slogans that they lean into.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I was going to bring
this
up.
How do we feel about the Seahawks?
Well, yeah.
They're not running it back.
No.
Running it forward.
It's the most football guy thing of all time.
Is it not the most football guy thing of all time?
Running back. We're not running it back. Yeah. Running it forward.
Right.
Okay.
Building on our core daily routine and the buying into the process.
What is...
If it works, it works. You know, we'll do what you got to do.
What's a disappointing season for them?
Anything not making the playoffs would obviously be disappointing. Okay, yeah. I think making the playoffs, if I'm a, like, you just want a Super Bowl.
What if they lose
in
the wild card?
I'm okay with that. You just want a Super Bowl.
Okay.
If I'm a Seahawk fan, I'm not going in thinking back-to-back. You're not ruling out the possibility of it happening because how good your coach seems to be and your defense and all that. You got one of the best wide receivers in the league. But I'm like, if you lose a close game in the wild card round to, the Eagles or whoever,
sure,
Packers get
blank.
You by a field goal, I'm not upset.
So just
by
make
that at
the
all.
Playoffs and everything's good.
Just yeah, I think if you're in the mix as a playoff team okay. and feel like you got a chance to go on a
the
run.
The amount of talent returning on a Super Bowl winning team yeah. paired with the ages of some of those guys.
The irony of all this is that the Carolina Panthers damn near beat the Rams in the wild card round.
Yeah, they did.
And the Rams were a
so did the Bears.
4 yards away from winning the NFC and winning a Super Bowl. So just my
it's
point
that
is
margin.
That's the margin yeah. how thin it is that you could lose any game in
yeah,
any
yeah, you're
time.
5 yards from not winning the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And then what is it? Yeah.
I got some college football notes to get to. We'll dive into those next. And then some history was made yesterday in sports. We'll talk about that at some point this hour. Ben Golliver, top of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling like some hot stuff over there. Welcome back in. Hope you're ready to get your hump on later today. Get to some history being made, some other odds and ends in the sports world. Ben Golliver coming up top of the hour. Excited to chat with him of ESPN. Did you guys have a moment of silence last night for the cupcake game in the SEC that is now going to go away?
I said, great job. Why do I identify that it is a cupcake game and way to get rid of it? But they also said really stupid stuff yesterday, so I didn't know how to feel and register what the SEC was doing.
Their athletic directors yesterday voted to play conference games on the second to last week of the regular season, eliminating what has been known for a long time for people in other pockets of the country as your cupcake week,
yeah.
where you play Mercer before you play the Iron Bowl.
Exactly. Citadel, Troy.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you who the vote was here. You want to know who the deciding vote was here? There's only one vote that mattered in doing this, and that one vote
is that the Lane train.
No, the one vote that mattered was ESPN. Because do you know what their marquee ABC primetime game was last year during Cupcake Week? 5:30 kick.
Ooh, it's got to be an ACC tilt.
There was one SEC game that week,
okay,
and it was.
Ooh, was South Carolina playing somebody?
It was not. It was Tennessee versus a 3-win Florida team Ooh. As your 5:30 primetime game of the week.
Yikes.
I don't know if game day was there. I can't remember where game day went, but I just remember that being their primetime game and ESPN being like, we're spending $1 billion yeah. to get a week where our primetime game is barely above 500 Tennessee and below 500 Florida. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, Bob.
That's tough.
So ESPN is the only vote that mattered here. I love them acting like we did this on their own when ESPN's like, we're your partner and you're going to give us better games later in this
well,
season.
Well, it's no different than the 2014 playoff. We're acting like yes. these are schools and institutions arguing it when it's really Fox versus ESPN.
Yes, that's the way it works.
And networks aren't going to speak up in defense of themselves because they don't want to acknowledge that what you're saying is true. I saw the cupcake game thing, and I said, okay, cool, but this was about an hour and a half after I had seen Kirby Smart basically say, we'll go do our own thing.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I've been a pretty big fan of Kirby Smart. I like that he is outspoken on a lot of issues and topics in the sport.
He's a powerful voice, maybe the he most is. Powerful voice in college football.
He's the most accomplished one, I think. I know Dabo has too, but Kirby feels a little more because he's in the SEC.
And it's more Reese, right? Dabo's are going right. on about a decade now.
The thing with Kirby's comments, though, of like, I did reach a point. Go do it then. Go. You want your own little SEC invitational and you want 10 teams in it of your conference?
Yeah.
Go play it. Get back to me on the rating because I will not watch it.
His president said that last week. Look how good the ratings were for Georgia Bama SEC title game.
Yeah.
Let's do our own thing.
Okay, then go do your own thing.
Nobody's going to even count that as a national championship.
I mean, you want to count it yourself, go ahead.
Sure,
but
man.
I saw that comment, and I just,
yeah.
take your ball and go home then, you little bitch.
Now, are yep. they getting rid of the cupcake games, or are they just rescheduling to September non-conference
so they
traditional?
Already they already played cupcakes from time to time. Like, let's not act like the SEC didn't do that also in
yeah.
September. Like, there are some that still do it. Part of this is their scheduling change,
they're
so they're going to
right.
nine conference games.
But is that the game they're getting rid of?
That's the one on the schedule that they're getting rid of. They're still going to play a cupcake at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Their ruling now in the SEC is you have nine conference games, and you have to play a Power 5
non-conference. Non-conference yes. game.
Yeah, so their schedule is going to be good, but they also they're going to have a couple cupcakes yeah. in
there. There's
own
also
conference.
Some very like the tea leaves from yesterday. As we get into some college football nuggies. By the way, before I get to that, can we give a shout out to your point on Kirby and his dumb comments, which I agree with. Did you see what Mike Elko said yesterday? So Mike Elko was asked about the expansion of the playoff, and I was already kind of a fan of Mike Elko, and then this was like, this took it over the top. He was asked, hey, you know, playoff, what do you feel about that? It's constant debate in the sport, Mike. And he was asked, what do you want it to look like? And he said, what does Mike Elko want? Mike Elko wants 40. Then I won't get fired. It's okay to make it hard to make the playoff. And then he added, none of us are answering for the good of the sport. We're answering for the good of ourselves. And it was such a spot-on moment of honesty of like, what do I want? Yeah, I'll take 40. Give me 40. I'm never going to get canned.
Make $100 million every
But that's
years.
What I want. That's not what's good for the sport. We need to decide what's good for the sport here. Yeah. So shout out to Mike Elko because I thought that was pretty funny. The other tidbit, though, I'd SEC Media Days is that they're all pissed behind the scenes because evidently sources are saying that a part of getting the conference members to agree to go to a 9-game league schedule, which they voted on and improved last year, was a guarantee by the commissioner that the playoff would expand.
Oh.
Because they all said, whoa, we're handing another loss to half of our teams in our conference. Well, how many does that eliminate from a 12-team? He said, don't worry, we're going to go to 16.
But 16 wouldn't solve that problem,
It wouldn't either. And so now they're in this weird conundrum of they don't want 24, but they promised the coaches an expanded playoff, and they're all going to not all, but half of them will have another loss.
Elko is 100% right in why they're doing 24, and we've been noting that the entire way. This is just about job preservation.
Yes.
I don't know if I believe that the SEC at large doesn't want 24. I think Kirby, prior to these comments, he basically came out and said, I'm pro that.
I feel like it's currently a negotiation tactic where the commissioner has told them to not publicly speak positively about it.
Yeah.
But I think if you gave them, to your point, if you gave them Truth Serum and Kirby's comments,
if they all voted on it,
vote for a 2014
because
playoff.
Because to Elko's point,
in
it's
a heartbeat.
All selfish, and that's the reason they do it.
Who do we care about? I care about me. Yes, this is like members of Congress. I care about my longevity. Right. I'm doing what I need to do to stay elected. I like this job in these kickbacks.
Let me stock trade. Yeah. Don't stop that ever.
We should not do this. Why would anybody want to take that away?
Yeah.
So that's some of the tidbits out of SEC spring meetings, which are happening right now. We also had a player get his reinstatement denied yesterday. Our gambling guru himself, the old Chauncey Billups of the Big 12. That's what people call him.
I think this is a little more
of a competition problem.
A little more of an addiction problem than it is a Chauncey Billups mafia problem.
Yeah, you never know. Brendan Sorsby, who is now trying to be the quarterback at Texas Tech, was applying to be reinstated. Now, I jokingly brought up because it became evident the judge hearing the case was in Lubbock, and he happened to be a massive donor of Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Even doing the guns up celebration with the mascot. To their credit, or no, this was the NCAA one. So the NCAA,
he's probably going to file
the university's already filed an appeal on this. Yeah, so that's a different one that he loomed. That's on coming on Monday, the one in Lubbock County.
So then the appeal is the actual
We have three different court cases going on. They filed one with the NCAA, the appeal of the NCAA now, who turned down his availability request, and now the one in Lubbock County, which will be heard on Monday. So all of that makes sense as him trying to make himself available to play next year. It is really funny. I love when this stuff happens where it kind of reminds me of the Vrabel situation. Now, apples to oranges, I get it. But like this idea of, I've cheated on my wife for 6 years. I'm going to take a day off from the draft and do some counseling, and then everything will be okay. And that's kind of what Sorsby's been coming out being like, dude, I had a massive gambling problem for years. I was gambling on Korean hot dog eating at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I certainly have a problem. Where he goes to Arizona for a week and he's like, nah, I've been clean now for weeks, man. You should reinstate me.
There's a pro golfer that's about to do that.
Hey, he's not playing in the Open. He's back in Switzerland now, okay?
TGL.
He's digging back into his rehab
TGL
process.
TGL is not going anywhere. Don't worry.
Now, rehab round one was fine. He came back to see his dogs, and now he's going back for round two of rehab.
He'll get my those veneers shined. He'll be right back in your face, smiling with his expensive gear. No, look, the Sorsby thing.
I just love that that's the idea of, like, I went to a rehab place for 2 weeks. Now I'm clean. I'm not going to gamble anymore.
I think what I love the most is his original explanation of, I was doing it to fit in.
Yeah.
What?
Wanted to be one of the guys out there, man.
What a weird thing to do to fit in with the masses of your locker room. I found that odd. I'm not going to be surprised at all if he ends up playing somehow.
They'll find a way. Yeah, I'm sure. And look, I understand his court argument of, like, why is the NCAA allowed to profit off of this with all their gambling sponsorships that exist everywhere? Like, I get the look and all of, like, I understand that point of it, but you can't gamble on your team, man. This is a big story, though, in college football for me, because Texas Tech is they're going to be favored by double digits in literally every game of their season. They're going to be a playoff team again this year. They're probably going to win the Big 12. And maybe the Hammond kids.
Are they without him?
That's what I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a huge story of, like, the Hammond kid, their backup might be good, so maybe it's much ado about nothing, but it's also not a guarantee that guy's good.
Did Hammond tear his ACL, though, didn't he?
He tore it. I mean, they're saying that they think he's ready close to the start of the season.
Boy, the ACL injury timeline is just...
It's wild.
It's like 6 months now.
His numbers, because I want to say he played in a couple of... How many games did he play
I thought he tore his ACL at the back end of the season.
It was pretty late in the year. He played... He had 7 touchdowns, 3 picks. Some of it was mop-up. Some of it was a starting job. He started the game they lost to Arizona State. I remember that.
Yeah.
He made 2 starts. Came in and started... I don't know if he came in or started, but he played against Utah, and he smoked Utah.
They won that game. Utah game.
34-10.
That was a dud of a big nooner.
Came in against Kansas. I think that was the game their starter went down. Morton went down. He played in the back half of that game, but they wanted a blowout. And then the game he started was the Arizona State game. And he was fine in that game. He didn't light the world on fire. They did lose 26-22. But it's just, that's why it's a story I'm following, because that's a playoff contender who might be without their starting quarterback next year.
I wasn't here for the topic Friday, but I was thinking about reading some of the comments that you mentioned, Kirby and Elko. If you could legislate salary cap stuff in college football, because the AD of Iowa State was basically like, then just leave. Like,
yeah,
if you don't want
to
play by these rules, it's supposed to be, what, $23 million?
Right.
And you've got Sark and all these other people basically saying it's 30 to 40.
Right. Now, kind of crying poor when they were the ones in conference doing it forever, paying guys with duffel bags.
But if you really could legislate, like, at the most you can spend is an X number, how different is the sport to you? Because right now, the one thing the Iowa State guy was right on is you've got so many programs going behind and above the number.
Yeah.
That it's like it's impossible to know who's paying what. We can speculate all we want.
It's not a guarantee.
There's no public reporting on that. So, like, I'm more curious, like, how the sport would be if you said, truly, you cannot spend a dime over $23 million on your football roster. Would it be all the same teams?
Right.
Or would some teams jump up because other teams can't pay $41 million?
And more people could get to 23 than could get to 40, certainly, right?
Far more could get to 23.
Yeah, I don't know if the bigger deal for me of fixing things would be a salary cap or if it would be a limit on transfers. Because I think the transfer thing... To me, it's like a 52-48. I would rather limit transfers.
What would you do on that number? Because your program's one that's benefited pretty greatly.
Without it, I mean, they benefit in both of these areas. But the transfer thing, to me, you lose the fabric of the continuity of your team, what it means. Like, we have this debate all the time about guys who come in as hired mercenaries for a year. Like, is Bo Nix an Auburn guy or an Oregon guy? He was better at Oregon, but
I think most people
he's an Auburn legacy
Oregon,
guy.
But
you
he
know.
Was better at Oregon.
Right, but he was also a 5-star recruit who chose. I was a huge deal as a day one starter, as a true freshman. So it's like, it's just, you know, it makes for unique circumstances. I would rather limit to a 1 transfer unless you've graduated. I think that was perfect. If you want to transfer after a year or two because you don't like the spot you're at, you get a freebie. You go transfer where you want to go.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving you the ability to transfer every year.
No, that makes sense.
Like, that to me would be a bigger fix. And I think it would almost curtail a little bit the NIL stuff, because part of the problem with the NIL stuff that gets out of control is you could go be a free agent every season and say, okay, I've made 1.2 this year. I'm going to go make 1.5 next year.
Right.
And you just keep entering your name into the portal and making more money. So hopefully fixes are on the horizon. Some college football tidbits. No more cupcake games in the SEC.
Thank God.
Shout out to Mike Elko for the honesty. We love to see it. And Sorsby is probably still going to play, but as of now, still up in the air at Texas Tech. Let's get to some history being made, and then we'll get to Ben Golliver coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to talk to our good friend, Mr. Ben Golliver himself, top of the hour.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, fire away.
So, one of our listeners sent us a tweet, and it's a photo, and it's basically a 5-year supply of Monster Energy for $500.
A 5-year supply.
It's literally a can, 365 cans a year for five years.
For $500?
For $500.
That's a hell of a deal.
Well, you wouldn't buy this, first
I'm
of
not
all.
A monster
it's like,
guy.
It's like 4 pallets of monsters, how that looks.
That's a lot of monsters.
So I don't have any storage for this.
I need like a monthly delivery of the monster, if I could do that.
What is the amount you spend to get a good deal on something like that?
I mean, that, outside of the space thing, because I certainly do not have enough space for 4 pallets of Monster energy drinks right now. I'm also not the... When was the last time you had a Monster?
Well, I actually have a Monster in my garage fridge. It's been there for 3 years.
Yeah,
I just don't touch it.
It's not that I'm anti-Monster. I just like some other energy drinks better.
The White Monster seems to be pretty trendy and hip right now with some of the hots and the kids.
The hots are in the White
Monster. The hots really like the White Monster.
You get the white nails with the White Monster. It looks good, maybe, for the gram. Is that why we're doing it?
I don't know.
I mean, that's something along those lines. Like, if you gave me that deal, I'm more of a Celsius guy now at my stage in life.
So this is about $3.65 a can. I don't even think that's a good deal.
$3.65 a can?
Right, because it'd be $3.65 times 5.
It's got to be less than that, right?
I don't think so.
For $500?
It'd be 365 cans, right?
Times 5.
Times 5.
Times 5.
You divide that by 500, right? I can't math, dude. It's too early. Am I doing that right?
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Does nobody remember PEMDAS?
No, look at me. What's like I'm going to help you out here with a math equation.
Well, we have a literal finance major.
Swag.
He's not listening.
Chime in. $500.
$500.
For a Monster energy drink for every day for the next 5 years.
So there'd be 365 cans for 5 years.
Times 365 times 5.
Yeah.
How much would each can of Monster cost?
Because that'd be 1,825 cans. 1,825 cans, right?
Yes.
365 times 5.
Okay, so you're paying $500 flat.
Flat for five years' supply of Monster Energy.
Come on, finance guy.
Finance guy, help us out.
That's why you need a numbers guy.
I love you look at me like I'm going to help you out.
Well, you laughed in a way that you knew I was
no,
wrong.
I'm laughing because I'm right
like,
there with
I
you.
Maybe I mathed it wrong. No. I'm sorry. Damn. No.
Anytime people laugh at me.
27 cents a can.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's
how did
no
you do that? Because I didn't do it the right way.
Why don't you go ahead and tell me how you found that out?
Yeah, that's a...
Why don't you show your work on that equation, Swigart?
See, I did not do PEMDAS correctly.
No, you need a PEMDAS yourself.
I have to do it the right way.
So you have 5 years, a can a day.
Yeah.
That's why it's a great deal.
It's got to be a great deal.
1,825 cans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 500 divided by 1,825.
Yeah.
That is your per can cost.
Right. How did you come to $3?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I just
I'm not going to make fun of you.
Maybe I read wrong.
Yeah. I'm really bad.
You did it the other way.
I did it the other way.
He did 1,825 divided by 500.
I reversed it.
I probably would have made the same mistake.
Well, Missy Elliott, flip that thing down.
Flip it and reverse it.
And reverse it back.
I mean, if you gave me...
That's a good deal, dude. 27 cents.
If you gave me the storage space...
If you had the space for it, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
For 27 cents a day?
If you're drinking Monster, that's a screaming deal.
I don't like drinking as much coffee anymore. Like, the older I get, the more on the fritz my stomach gets, and coffee doesn't help. So I'll have one cup of coffee a day, and that's it. I can't have any more than that.
Yeah.
So I'm more of an energy drink guy to get me going. And it's every time I go by and stop into, like, a 7-Eleven on my way home and, like, hey, I'm running low on Celsius, every time I'm like, how much is this costing me a week?
I do the same thing because Costco no longer carries the energy flavors I like.
No, they have Celsius
and
for
I don't
me,
want to
but they
go
don't
on
have
the line online and no. order the pack.
So you're not buying in bulk, you're buying 3 or 4 cans at a time.
But I'm going for like the $4 for $5 deals.
Yeah, I mean you try and find one if you could get it.
See, my problem is I'm identifying my caffeine addiction issue right now.
Oh, we need it to survive, yeah.
The problem is every time I seemingly go out with the wife on a weekend.
Need a little pick me up?
I'm trying to, like, put one on that counter and buy one. So I haven't had any in a couple days.
You ever tried cocaine?
I'm almost there.
Okay.
You know. And if you give me a $500 deal,
$500
that I correctly calculate what my percentage that I'm saving is.
$500 for cocaine for every day for the next 5 years? That's a lot of cocaine.
Is that a lot of coke?
You're saving a lot of money.
Only you and Dusty know the coke market. I can't quite identify it.
Did you see the guy who saw a suitcase of $1 million? Float up on the beach in Florida the other day.
I did not.
He turned it in. What a bitch.
But isn't it 90 days? 90 days, and if nobody claims it, it's yours?
I mean, I don't know if that's a real thing. He called the cops immediately.
Also, how many cops
Every time 30. I see one of those headlines, I love the 50. Joking ones of like, a guy found $1 million and then called the cops and said he found $800,000 at the beach. The cops notified the feds that they found $600,000 at the beach of one of those. Like, dude, if I...
That's
like,
a good point. Why would you say you found $1 million and not be like...
How are you not grabbing some of that cash?
If it's floating...
Can we trust Dream? Can that be our poll question of the day?
Okay.
Neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day.
Okay.
$1 million floats up in a suitcase. You're somewhat alone. Like, if it's a crowded beach, that's one thing, and there's a million people around. So play the game a little bit. There's not that many people around.
Yep.
Maybe you're out for an early morning. Like, I woke up this morning and leave for work, and my neighbor was sitting on her front porch. And I'm like, Dad, you're out early having a cup of coffee.
Hey, if you found $1 million
float up on a beach, what are you doing with it? Taking some, taking all, or taking none?
Ooh.
Trust tree here. You're taking some of it. I'd try and take all of it. If you want honesty, I would try and take all of it.
Does a suitcase have identification? Like,
no.
Clearly I can determine this is somebody's suitcase.
Why is it in a suitcase in the water? Let's just piece that part together.
I think Marco Rubio blew up the boat. That's why.
I mean, it's probably...
If I can clearly identify this belongs to somebody...
No, there's no name on the suitcase. Oh. You unzip it. It's a labelless suitcase. You unzip it, and there's just cash in Ziploc bags.
Yeah, I'm helping myself.
Thank you.
A tagless suitcase.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, take some, take all, or take none.
You're taking all?
I would try to.
Really?
Well, how much legal trouble would I get in for that?
Depends on where you are.
I mean, if I'm just like, I found it, why can't I keep it? I didn't
look
inside.
Is there no part of you, it's not the legal part to me, it's the more, who's coming after me for it?
How are they going to know that you found that if it's washing up on the shore?
I don't know,
drones? Unless there's a tracker
in there?
I don't
know, man. Yeah. I just did math wrong.
You take it to your car, you take the cash out of the suitcase in case there are...
Am I in a remote tropical place, or am I in South Beach... In a
That's
marina.
That's what I'm saying. You're in Florida.
I ain't touching that at a South Beach marina. It's like,
that's what I'm saying. It's
somebody's
like
coming and looking
this
for this. I don't want any part of this.
And then they find out you're the guy who took it.
I'll roll the dice.
You like your thumbs?
I like my thumbs.
Man.
I was just holding it for you guys. Sorry. I didn't know you wanted
it. $1 million floated up on a beach in a nameless suitcase, what do you do?
Yeah.
Take some?
Take some, take all, or take none. Those are your three options.
Okay.
Your neighborhood restaurant group poll today. Well, I gotta bring up my show sheet. It's brought to you on X by our wonderful friends, the Neighborhood Restaurant Group, and they bring you dinner every night and tonight in one of their five locations: Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverence Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse.
I'll tell you right now, I'm glad that we figured out that math problem was wrong, because it's good to know that that's such a screaming deal versus like 365 is a ripoff.
Yeah, that's when you said that, I'm like, why would anybody?
When I said it, I didn't feel right with it.
That's like what one monster.
That's not a deal.
That's like more than what one monster costs. How much does a monster cost right now?
I two probably.
Two
change,
bucks, right?
Right?
It's gotta be.
Maybe $3 on a regular price.
Yeah.
Red Bull was kind of expensive at the beach.
Gives you wings.
I don't buy it.
No, I don't either.
I go for the cheaper ones.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. I didn't get to my history being made, but we will get to that in the final hour. I promise. That's around the corner. So stay tuned for that. You can go answer our poll question at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. What do you do with $1 million of your cocaine money that floats up on the shore while you're walking the beach?
Somebody's saying this is the worst math in the history of the world.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I've done. Okay, first of all, you didn't even try to jump in. And you laughed because you didn't know.
I had no idea.
Second of all, we've done far worse math on this show.
I knew the answer was wrong. I just didn't know a way to prove that it was wrong. Does that make sense?
I also knew it was wrong, and I wanted to be proven
like,
wrong.
There's no way that's right. That doesn't make any sense,
well,
but I can't come up with the calculation.
That's why
to prove
we have
it.
A finance guy.
That's why he's here, man. That's why he's here. We start the final hour, though, with Ben Golliver of ESPN, our good friend. Let's talk some NBA. Hey, do you know the Kalamu Kazoos are coming? Is Ben Golliver buying into it? He starts the final hour next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.